It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Who? It's business. It's business time.
Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, and it's time for the download on Chicago business, where we talk to Chicago business people to understand their story so we can better understand ours. Baker Tilly is one of the leading professional services companies in Chicago, but that would be a mistake because Baker Tilly is one of the leading professional services companies in the world. And it's always interesting to me because Chicago attracts companies like Baker Tilly. We're talking about accounting services, tax preparation, consulting. And you would think, like, why Chicago continues to thrive when it comes to these kind of companies? Because obviously, if you think about the past, Deloitte and Touche were here, Anderson Consulting at one time, and that's broken off into different things. Jeff George is here. He is one of the principals. He's actually in charge of the international services wing of Baker Tilly. And we're going to talk a little bit about what it means for Chicago businesses who are looking to set up shop internationally, or at least look for international business. Jeff, thanks for being here. Appreciate you being
here. Thanks for having me, Justin. Appreciate it.
So it's one thing. We'll talk about it all the time on this program, about how Chicago businesses attract Chicago clientele. But when you're at a moment, when you're a company in Chicago that wants to go beyond the borders of this city, beyond the Midwest, and think about international business, what do you have to think about? Because it's not just as easy as saying, let's do it. There's a lot that goes into that.
There is, although there tends to be a self-limiting mindset for companies to think, well, I've only operated in Chicago. I've only been in Illinois. This is daunting. This is a big thing. And statistics show, actually, from the U.S. Commercial Services Department, that less than 1% of all U.S. businesses actually conduct trade abroad. They export. They do some kind of exporting. And that's almost 10 times less than most developed countries. And there are lots of reasons for that. But one of them is a self-limiting belief, thinking that, you know, going abroad is great for other companies, but not for us. Turns out that when you have a proven process, you have a methodology, you have a known way of doing things, you can eliminate a lot of the risk and essentially increase your rate for success. And that's what we see.
Obviously, it's self-limiting and there's fear. And I think that every other headline will tell you that it's very complex. and when you have international news and business that's around trade policy and what's happening in White House and the Capitol Hill, yeah, I would assume that if you're a manufacturer in the Midwest, the last thing you think that's available to you is to do business in Mexico.
To some degree, it can be, depending on who's leading the firm and who's tasked with what's hitting them. But what we find is that when you start looking at a specific business that maybe all they've done is U.S. commerce, and maybe you have a plateauing group of customers, maybe you have a bit of a softening of the domestic economy, you actually do yourself a favor by looking into that ahead of time. And what you find, depending on what your business is, and we tend to see typically 80% of the companies that we engage with in this matter, they find that for their product, you actually don't have to have a breakthrough product to have breakthrough international results. So we found companies that are 100 years old, they've been dealing with products that are extraordinarily mature, right? Call it in some ways old technology. And we're able to find markets that in a span of 18 months, they've grown by eight figures. This is a 100-year-old company, super mature. So it's all about not going it alone. You know, you can do a lot of this and try to hack it on your own, but that's where I think so much of the low percentage comes up.
Right,
if companies
succeed
is because there's a lot to it.
For Baker Tilly, being someone who offers the services and the consulting services as well, to say this is a good idea, this is a bad idea, this is the right market, this is not the right market. Are there times where a business will come in and say, I'm really interested in doing business, say, in Europe, and you guys have to say, slow your roll, like you're not ready for that?
You know, one of the things that we take a lot of pride in is not wasting people's time or money. And if someone has come to us, which has happened before, and I'm sure it'll happen again, say, look, I've got this really crazy whiz-bang product, and I think that we have traction in this market. And if we find that, for one, it's very difficult to beat the foreign local folks at their own game, there might be a better way to go about it. Or maybe that market isn't for you, but this other one that we've identified for you, this one is the right fit. So it's very individualized for the company, but we do try to steer companies away from a market that may just not yield fruit near or long term.
When you're in charge of international services, whether that be anything that's happening in Europe or Mexico or even the Far East, how much do you have to be specifically in the know when it comes to the tax policy of that country, the economic situation, everything that goes in? From your vantage point, is it all similar? Is it all the same? Or is it just the idea that you have to be fluent in 17 different economies?
I would say that they're all superficially similar and yet fundamentally different.
Yeah.
Right? The fundamentals of what it takes to succeed are very different. On the surface, you'll find some commonalities on the things that are related to how do you go to market, do you go via distributor or direct. But the closer you get to the ground, the more the specifics and the know-how required are an imperative, right? So that's one of the things that we are fortunate to have is a presence across 146 countries, right? Mm-hmm. Depending where we are in the world, we call it territories because certain countries don't want us calling countries countries. But the reality of it is that you know, having the boots on the ground understanding of how is business done from a commercial, a tax, a compliance, you know, from a regulatory perspective, mm-hmm. it can be complex. But the more specific it is for individual business, the easier it is to say that matters for this instance and this does not, and then focus on it and get it done.
Jeff George is with us. He's with Baker Tilly. Baker Tilly, one of the better professional service companies in the world, right here headquartered on Michigan Avenue. And we're talking about Chicago businesses doing business outside of Chicago internationally. You run international services. How big is that? When you say that and you talk about 140-plus territories, countries and territories, I mean, you have boots on the ground in all those places. What is your staff like?
We do. So we have a workforce of over 33,000.
Wow.
It's larger than some small countries.
Big all staff.
Yeah, it is, right? Really, you know, I've been with the firm for 4 years, right? I had my own firm, and then we merged in 4.5 years ago. And I've continually become impressed to see the acumen across the countries where we operate. And it is multidisciplinary to varying degrees. But when you think about the really, really big picture of how we either enhance or protect the client value that we're working with, it's a tremendous body of professionals in the traditional tax, right? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of compliance and audit and accounting-related work. And then there's a body of consulting and advisory that spans global trade management, so how to help companies deal with being trade compliant in this
right.
Awakening of tariffs and regulatory issues. And
how important is that? Because they're putting a lot of, if I'm a manufacturer in Chicago and I want to start doing business in Mexico, but I also want to do business in Spain, and I also want to do business in Thailand. All three of those markets are entirely different with different compliances, different trade deals. That puts a lot of pressure on you at Baker Tilly to make sure that the client is covered.
And that's where, you know, we talk about how we aim to either enhance or and or protect our client's value. In this case, it's a little bit of both because the complexity, in some ways, it's always been there, but the impact commercially to a business was very low, right? If you look at the most recent average of tariffs, right, things were single digits, very mm-hmm. low. But for almost three generations of business leaders, we really haven't had to face anything significantly different, right, until now. You know, the chicken wars, we call them, back in the post-war era, right? The U.S. went against Europe for brandy and a few other products, light passenger trucks. And some of that has stayed to this day. Like light passenger trucks, right, 25% then is the same now. Hmm. The reason I bring that up is because those things, this genie that came out of the bottle of complexity and trade, that isn't going back in the bottle, right?
Right.
I think we've been jarred as a business community in the U.S. to deal with things that are new, but fundamentally they're old hat elsewhere.
Right. Right?
I started my career in Brazil. We've dealt with tariffs, high tariffs, for a long time.
So you understand it, yeah.
I do, but a lot of other business leaders
I would assume a business leader here in town would say, you know, this is how the last generation did it. This is my father did it. It's a family-owned business. This is how my father before him did it. We know how to do it. When it changes the way it's changing now, where the business landscape has become so much more, the international business landscape has become so much more complex, does it put pressure on you at Baker Tilly to make sure you understand how it's changing?
It does if we didn't properly prepare, right? So we take the duty. What we do is more than a job. It's a responsibility, right? We have a responsibility to the market. We have a responsibility to our clients to stay ahead of the curve, looking around the bend, preparing so that when the question does come up, we already have the answer or can guide on how to get the answer for themselves. So we've been in this game for a while. The pressure that we may at times feel is how do we make sure that we adequately serve the demand that we get when these jarring market shifts take place, right? And we've been fortunate to have created processes to have developed and hired people that put us in a position to adequately respond. But we're always looking for a case. So this is happening now. What's next?
Yeah.
And what's the decision tree of the scenario that is really stable today, but they may not be tomorrow, so that when and if it does happen, our clients and our friends are well supported.
Wow. I'm not a businessman. I host a talk show. I try to understand as best I can. when I see all of the news in the last couple of years about trade wars and tariffs and what's happening from the Trump administration, you almost view it through the eyes of politics, because I'm not in business. The question I have for you is just, you know, I would assume that does that, when the tariffs and all these kind of things are happening, these trade wars, does it have impact on the companies you work with, or is it all bluster and for the media companies to write articles about?
Markets and people will do what they do, right? I think what we recommend companies is to maybe not overreact or so quickly react to what they see happen in the headlines or through other sources, right? But rather to take a measured step back and evaluate what does that circumstance mean for their business in such a way that if they need to wrangle with something that's new, to try not to do it alone. Because penalties are severe if you make a mistake, depending on how the government perceives what you've done to be really ill-intended, there are penal consequences here afoot, right? There's some real issue that could happen. So we find that, at least from our perspective, a lot of it is making sure that we can provide not only guidance, but also a bolt-on support so that the client doesn't have to ramp up with knowledge that it's not right for them to
know. Right.
So we do a lot of managed services and tools around global trade and import-export.
I remember I had some friends in college and family members who went into financial services. And they ended up coming out and ended up doing audit services in Akron, Ohio, or you know, they jumped around from town to town and continued to, and they made great careers out of it. In this day and age, when kids are coming up through college and they're getting ready to go into financial services, and the landscape is changing, like you said, the genie is out of the bottle, and everything that they knew 4 years ago is different today. Is that tough? Is that a challenge for Baker Tilly to get the right kind of human capital in the business because of the way that the business landscape in the world is changing?
We see it as an opportunity. We embrace change. And what we find is, you know, I've been with some of my colleagues who've described us as the advisory accounting firm of the future, right? We're so excited about what's happening and what others call disruption that we just find it's just part of life, right? Dial back the clock. I just spoke at a conference in Detroit last week, and I opened up with two images, an image of New York City, Fifth Avenue, 1900. And I asked the audience, find the car in this picture, because all you saw was, you know, horse-drawn carriages. Then same time of the day, same spot on Fifth Avenue, 13 years later, I asked the question, find the wagon. You can't. It's buried. So you don't think they were going through disruption?
Right.
Absolutely they were. So are we. So how do you understand the multiple variables that are impacting you and therefore the people that you need so that we hire not for today but for where we're headed?
Yeah.
So we find that, for example, you know, we're doing a lot of work in robotic process automation and weaving in artificial intelligence in the work that we do, because that frees up the talent that are these extraordinarily bright, aspiring, purpose-driven people to do something really special for the world that they're a part of. We see it as opportunity. We're pumped.
My last question for you just is about, you know, I started this interview talking about how Chicago has this rich history of having these kind of accountant services companies. And it's amazing to me to think about it, because you don't necessarily think of this as a financial hub. When you're talking about international service, you talk about London, you talk about New York, you talk about Hong Kong. I mean, there's a lot of different places. Why is there a rich history of financial service companies in Chicago?
And this is entirely speculative from the lens of an immigrant into the U.S., right? But from what I see, and specifically to Chicago, one thing that always struck me the first time I came here and drove to visit folks that I knew in the outskirts, as you drive in and through the city, are the number of extraordinarily well-recognized brands, both in the consumer and business space. And I think where you have business relevance, you automatically have the need for reputable support for their financial accounting fiscal needs.
Right.
So I think it's an outgrowth of what Chicago was able to amass for itself, which is this tremendous heritage of, you know, amazing businesses, right, that are respected not just here, but in the places where those brands are known and will probably continue to be known.
Jeff George leads the International Services Division for Baker Tilly, who are our neighbors right over here at 205 North Michigan Avenue, our guest on the Download on Chicago Business. Jeff, thanks so much for coming in and talking tonight.
Thanks so much for having me, Justin. I appreciate it.